Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, everyone. This is Yaina Yisrael with another edition of the Yehuda Project. As usual, we're glad to be here today. We want to say hello to everyone and to get some music playing to give our guests some time to come on the line. We have a lot of great things to talk about today, some announcements we need to be making, and a whole lot of love we need to be giving out. So I'm going to play this song for you to enjoy to give our callers a chance to call in. Here we go.
Mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate.
You know we've got to find a way
to bring some love and tears here today. Oh, picket lines and picket signs. Punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see.
Everyone today, and we're glad that you want to be a part of our show. We have a lot of things we're going to talk about today. Of course, we're going to deal with some controversial issues. Let me get my co-host on the line. I see quite a few people. I also want to make the announcement that if you received an email inviting you to be a guest speaker on our show, please don't hesitate to push 1 because we want to open up your mic and allow you to be on the panel to give you an opportunity to say whatever you'd like to say to our listening audience. We have quite a few people in the chat line. People are still calling in. So let me get my co-host on the line, and then we will go from there, and we'll begin our show. Brother Adonai, are you there?
Shalom, shalom, this is Adonai from Atlanta, Georgia.
Shalom, shalom, Brother Adonai. How are you today?
I ain't feeling too good right now. My blood sugar's kind of dipping. But other than that, how about yourself?
Okay.
I feel like a rickety old ladder.
Oh my goodness, we're gonna have to do something about that. It's all in the diet.
I look like a pot belly stove with arms and legs.
Now that ain't good. That's not good. Okay, well, let's get started today. Well, you know what? I wanted to deal with an issue while we're here. What do you say about the, there was a verdict that came down in Florida about the young man, the software, I guess he's a software mogul or he designed software or something where he shot into the young man's car in Florida because the music was too loud. And it's been all over the internet, so we want to deal with that today. We also going to deal with some issues about O.J. Simpson today. And just kind of talk about current events. Like I said, we've invited a few people on the line. We emailed some people to come on the line. And also, if the brother is on the line that was here from Atlanta, he is a Moray, and we were on the line with you with Sister Mahalia from Israel. We've been trying to get in touch with you. Could you please push one as well? Because we'd like to open up the line to you because we want to have you as one of the panels on the show today. And I wanted to play a clip because, you know, it's been a big deal with the breaking news that's been going on with how much time he got and how difficult it was for them to come to a consensus about his sentence period, how long it took for them to come, and why they were so stalemate about how they were going to charge him. So I kind of want to play this clip for you, and then we're going to talk about it. Hold on a minute. It's real short. Here we go.
I have the verdict form in count one. There are no markings on it, but I will provide it to the clerk for the record. And based on the jury's inability to reach a verdict as to count one, I would declare that mistried, and we will talk about how we will proceed with regard to that in a moment. The other verdict forms are in order. I'll give them to the clerk for publishing.
In the Circuit Court of the 4th Judicial Circuit in and for Duval County, Florida, in case number 16-2012-CF-011572, AXXSMA, Division CRD, the State of Florida versus Michael David Dunn. Verdict is to count two. We, the jury, find the defendant guilty of attempted second-degree murder, a lesser-included offense. We find that the defendant discharged a firearm during the commission of the offense. Verdict is to count three. We, the jury, find the defendant guilty of attempted second-degree murder, a lesser-included offense. We find that the defendant discharged a firearm during the commission of the offense. Verdict is to count four. We, the jury, find the defendant guilty of attempted second-degree murder, a lesser-included offense. We find that the defendant discharged a firearm during the commission of the offense. Verdict is to count five. We, the jury, find the defendant guilty of shooting or throwing deadly missiles as charged in the indictment. Says they will all, done in Jacksonville, Duval County, Florida, juror number 7, for person, dated February 15, 2014.
Does anybody need the jury poll?
Yes, ma'am.
Juror number 1, are these your true and correct verdicts? Juror number 2, are these your true and correct verdicts? Juror number 3, are these your true and correct verdicts?
Yes.
Juror number 4, are these your true and correct verdicts?
Yes.
Juror number 5, are these your true and correct verdicts?
Yes.
Juror number 6, are these your true and correct verdicts?
Yes.
Juror number 7, are these your true and correct verdicts? Juror number 8, are these your true and correct verdicts? Juror number 9, are these your true and correct verdicts?
Yes.
Juror number 10, are these your true and correct verdicts? Juror number 11, are these your true and correct verdicts?
Yes.
Juror number 12, are these your true and correct verdicts? Thank you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, the jury, I've said it several times, but I need to say it again. I want to thank you for your hard work, your time, attention, and your dedication throughout these last almost 2 weeks. There will never be words that I could ever express to you to tell you how grateful I am and that we all are for your service, your consideration and dedication to this process. It's been a long 13 days, I believe, now, and when you came on Monday, you recognized that obviously you were here for jury service and you had a civic duty to perform, and you have embraced that, and I truly appreciate it. I've watched you throughout these last 2 weeks, and I know how hard it has been for you and how difficult it has been for you, but you have performed your duties with the absolute utmost of professionalism. You are why this justice system is the greatest in the world. So from all of us, let me again extend my gratitude and thanks.
Yeah. All right, so what do you think about that?
If you're asking me, I think that they got a 12-man jury, and did they want if they wanted a unanimous decision, man, I didn't think that they was going to get unanimous decision with a 12-man jury, and they got two blacks. Lord have mercy, you understand? And I, you know, it's just amazing how they gave. He did get some time out of the situations. He got 60 to 75. He's up against 60 to 75 years. I mean, they could sentence him for 60 or 75 years. I'm grateful that they were able to come to a decision on four of those counts. If it had been the opposite, you know, the other way around, where the black young man would have killed a white person, it wouldn't have had that long. It wouldn't have taken them that long to make that kind of decision. And I don't think it would have been that many people on the jury. You understand? Most of the time, man, we in and we out. You understand? Overnight, they make a decision and we on our way to jail. You understand? So, you know, it was an act of the Almighty, I believe. You understand? Because had it not been like that, man, it would have been uprising. You understand? We didn't uprise on, you know, there was no a big thing about it when Trayvon Martin got killed. But this time, you know, back-to-back situations in Florida, I think it would have been something, you know, it would have been, I mean, we'd have showed out, you understand? But I think it was the act of the Almighty this time. Hallelujah, that they did sentence him, that they did see that he got some guilty charges on him. And he's up against 75 years. They're going to do is they're going to take that charge number one, I think it is, back to court and repeal that or something. I don't know what they're going to do, man. But, you know, the justice system, it needs some work, man, on it. Well, we in America, man. These guys ain't going to be justice. We ain't going to get no justice. You understand? What little justice that we get, you understand? You know, it's so far and few in between. You understand? Okay. So that's my take on it.
I agree, too. You know, like I said, we have a lot of people on the line. Please feel free to push 1 anytime you want to give a comment. We want to hear what you have to say. If you're in the chat line and you want to say something, please type it in. We would love to hear what you have to say. And if you are a guest and we have invited you to the show, please push 1 so that we can get you on the air, because we want you to introduce yourself to our audience and give you an opportunity to talk to our audience about the things that you're doing, the agendas that you have, and whatever you're doing in the community and for our people, our nation, and all of that. We've invited quite a few very influential people from the Hebrew community and people from the outside community. And we just want to say, you know, we thank you for all of your support and participation that you have given to us as we've been on the air almost a year now. I think March the 1st will be an exact year. And we've had over 30,000 listeners on the show per the year and building up and continuing to keep building until we reach that 100,000 people mark. And that is our goal. So the chat line, again, we are able to type and answer questions. If you would like to participate as well, we would like to hear what you have to say. My opinion on it is this. we've watched it time and time again. You know, these cases come up before us and they're brought to us on the news over and over and over and over again. And we as black people always have hope that there's going to finally be some justice, that they're going to finally get charged and they're going to finally get treated the way that we feel like we've been treated. And, you know, the fact that it took them as long as they did to come up with the verdict that they did come up with is a shame, to say the least, because he shot in a car of innocent teenagers just because of he felt like he could get away with it. And, you know, 70 years of prison is a wonderful thing. And, you know, he won't get out of prison if they don't answer his appeal and let him out free. But it's just the whole mannerism, the smirk, and the whole attitude that they have on their face, you know, like they can, like it's open season on our young kids and it's open season on our children. And that part is what concerns me. It concerns me because as I was telling someone, you know, Yah is very, very clear in his word when it comes to murder, when it comes to killing, when it comes to doing whatever. And you know, I'm not one for rioting and acting up and doing what we need, doing anything and going against, you know, or trying to create a situation. But at some point, you know, we're not going to keep on sitting by watching our children get shot down. And I believe that the situation will be handled, both situations, Zimmerman and this Miss Michael Dunn or whatever his name is, you know. But, you know, one good thing that the family does have on their side is that they can sue him civilly. Someone told me, well, you know, they have to find him guilty first. No, they didn't. O.J. wasn't found guilty. O.J. was found innocent, and he still did the things that he did, and they still sued him, and they took everything he had. So, you know, but that doesn't bring your children back. So, you know, my goal, my thing is, you know, for everybody that's under the sound of my voice, again, let me make this announcement. If you were invited to the show via email, and I sent you an email inviting you to the show, please push 1 because we want to open up your mics because we want to give you an opportunity to give your take. We want to hear what you have to say because, you know, this is pretty serious. Again, one of our teenagers is dead, so that's my whole take on the issue. You know, it's just not good enough. It's not good enough. It took them too long. If it had been the other way around and a black boy had killed the white man and shot into his car, he would get the death penalty. It wouldn't have took them no time to do that. So we're never going to get the justice that we deserve while we're in this land and on this soil. It's just not going to happen. And I'm going to tell you something that happened to me. I'm sitting in my house. The doorbell rings. A knock on the door. And it was at night. And so this happened last week. And when I went to the door, there was two white guys standing on my porch. And when I opened up the door, and they asked me, you know, who I was and everything, and they knew, and they said, well, we're detective such and such, and detective such and such, can we come in? Instantly, I'm thinking something is wrong with my children. I'm like, okay, is something wrong with my kids? You know, he's like, no, ma'am, we just need to discuss something with you. So I invited him in. He said, we just want to know, do we have permission? We've received a report that there's some suspicious activity going on at your home. I said, is that right? He said, yeah. He said, well, we've received a report that people are coming and going all hours of the morning, that there's strange cars pulling up in your driveway all hours of the morning, that your window is open on the second floor all the time. I'm looking at these two guys like, are you serious? And he was like, yeah. He said, and I just want to know, do we have permission to search your house? I said, you absolutely do not. He was like, well, we have to ask, you know, and I just, you know, wanted, I said, why? I said, you think all black people sell drugs and all black people are drug users? I said, are you serious? And he was like, yes, ma'am, we have to come out and we have to check out all avenues. And I just kept looking at him like, are you really serious? And he was like, yes, ma'am. I said, do you think they'll ever change? And immediately both of them said, no, some people will never change. It's going to always be that way. So, you know, and as far as we're concerned and as far as they're concerned, they will never look at us as though we're equal, no matter what we do. That my neighborhood, they don't know what I do because I work for myself. I work out of my home, so I'm not going out to work every day like they are. And immediately they've drawn the conclusion that I'm a drug dealer.
Mm-mm-mm. Yes, sir. That's a peculiar situation. I think that we might be hitting on something with this program. If they just came around your house, you understand? That might be related there. Did they show you identification?
Oh, yeah. I got identification badges. They gave me their cards and everything. And I'm like, are you serious? I said, I didn't know I lived in the neighborhood where there was a curfew. Oh, you don't. No, you don't. You know, you. I said, because I didn't know we had to be coming and going at a certain hour. Oh, no, ma'am. Absolutely not. And then why are you here?
Yeah, that's
true. I mean,
that's
just to let you know, no matter how comfortable you get, we were brought here, and no matter how much it's changed, it has not changed. It just has
no,
not
it changed. Hasn't changed at all, so we might as well forget that. And see, they're getting ready to usher us off to these internment camps. You understand? They picking and choosing who they're going to take first. You understand? So we need to try to do something about our condition here. We need a strategy. You understand? And we need we need to start working on our children and bringing up a different generation of children. You understand? That know they self and that are knowledgeable in the law and start getting our own educational system together and start dealing with our children a little bit more closely. You understand? And we need to stay prayed up. Hallelujah.
Yeah. I said, wow, you want to search my house?
Because we ain't got no salvation
look.
And nothing. Nobody else is looking out for us but the Creator. You understand? We don't. None of them other nations will come along and say, "Well, I think y'all doing wrong by them folks." No, we ain't never had that, and it will never happen. You understand? So our only salvation is in the Almighty. You understand? And that we need to try to come together and start trying to make build something here. You understand? Start trying to take our destiny in our own hands. You understand? And stop waiting on them, because if it was left up to them, they'd kill us off.
Man, I live in a mixed neighborhood with blacks and whites. It's a very affluent neighborhood from some people's standards. They think it is. And, you look at it and you think that because, they feel like you're not supposed to be here, or you're not supposed to have what you have, or you're not supposed to be up where they are, or you're not supposed to be in the same league that they're in. And it's constant. I mean, really, it's constant. It doesn't matter what social level you're on. It doesn't matter what economic level you're on. You're going to get the same treatment. And that is the whole reason why we do the show. These are the things why we bring the show up. And, a lot of people would be like, well, you don't have our struggles. Because somebody told me once, well, if you live in a $500,000 neighborhood, then you don't have our struggles. And I had to stop the brother immediately. I had to shut him down. I said, you don't understand. One thing you have, before you make an assumption like that about a person, you need to really do your investigation. Because I started out in the project. I know what welfare is all about. I know what food stamps is all about. I started out there. I moved here from England, from the United Kingdom, and moved in the project to survive. And from that point, and from moving there and working jobs and getting educated and starting my own business, I made my way to this point. And from this point is where I was at before when the bubble boomed and everything lost. And I'm still up here, and I'm like, I have a right to be here just like you do. But I'm still Hebrew Israelite, and I'm still fighting for my people, and I still do what I need to do. So the issue comes in at this, and the reason why I say that is because it doesn't matter what social status you are, you still getting the same treatment. Getting the same treatment.
That is correct, and and it's going to get worse. Do you understand that they're going to take, and it doesn't matter who it is now. The banks is getting ready to take to leave you with 16% of your earnings through all of those 401ks and those IRAs. They gonna take half of that money. Your money, you gonna get pennies on a dollar for all the money that you got in those banks here. And there's nothing that you could do about it. And this is blacks and whites.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And it just
this is how much they care about, they don't care nothing about their own, so you know that they don't care nothing about us, period. You understand? Every time that they do something to the masses, we the major people that get messed up in the whole thing. Them other folks might come out of it, but it takes us years and years and years to rebuild what little we get. You understand? So we hurt the most out of all of those things. You understand? So, you know, it's time for us to take charge of our own destiny. I'm so sick of us, man, being treated like we're treating. We have a creator, you understand, that's second to none. He said that he would take care of us. All we have to do for him is love him and treat him with all our heart and all our souls. You understand? And trust in him. And think of ways that we're gonna that we can come out of this mess, and he will help us in all our endeavors. You understand? But we still backing away and dragging our feet and if ands, buts and maybes. Those don't work. Hallelujah.
Nope. Mm-hmm. And I want to make an announcement. We have a lot of people on the line, and we appreciate all of your support. If you want to join in on this conversation, because Badonia and I can talk the whole 2 hours, but the show is for you to bring your input in. The show is for you to give a voice. The show is for you to have something to say. If we've invited you on the show and we've sent you an email, please push 1. If you don't want to give your name, we'll just say area code 77-something or area code 70-something, or you don't necessarily have to give your name. But we want to hear what you have to say, you know, because this is really, you know, to the point where you have to realize it's not going to get – there is so much stuff going on right now out there that not only us, but the white nation is gearing up and preparing for the things that the elite, the powers that be, have set in place for everybody concerned, not just black people, everybody concerned that they're doing to make sure that they depopulate the world. They're depopulating everything and making it conformable for them. So here we are now in a situation where we have another young black man that's been shot down, another young teenager that's been shot down, and we're sitting here, and the first thing from a mother's point comes, okay, well, you know, they're going to get him in prison. You know, somebody's going to get him, but you got to understand the Most High is going to deal with it the way he's going to handle it, because even though it may look like they're getting away, they're not getting away. They're not getting away. So, nope. You know, like I said, we want to open up the phone lines. We want to hear what you have to say. Please push 1. You want to make a comment, you know, because he did get, 60 years? He's 47 years old, and the family will have an opportunity to civilly sue him to be able to. You can't bring your son back. There's no amount of money that bring your child back. And to be able to bury a child, I have done that. I know the pain that comes with that. It's just not, you know, there's nothing anybody can do to bring that child back. But there is some consolation in knowing that there was some punishment, that you felt it in your pocket and you felt it in your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a sad day for us, man. And what makes it so sad is that we just sitting on the fence. You understand? We don't know what to do. We twiddling our thumbs. Yes, there's something that we can do. We can start trying to build up a nation, a better nation, you understand? A nation, you understand, with our children involved so that they will have a better chance at this stuff here. You understand? But if we sit back and do nothing, man, we give them carte blanche, you understand, to do what they want to us. You understand? And that's not, you know, I don't think that that's fathomable. That's not something that we need to accept as an alternative. You understand? Our trust is in the Almighty, the Creator, from whatever angle that you think of. If you worship a rock, remember the Almighty put all of these things in place. You understand? If you worship the sun, he's the king of the universe. He put everything in place. You understand? And he is our salvation. No other nation can make that claim. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And, you know, that's very true. And I'm going to play another clip for you because we have a lot of people on the line. And, again, we appreciate your commitment. We appreciate every Sunday that you're here. Some people may be Hebrew Israelite. Some people may just be black, and they feel like that they're African American, and that's fine. You know, but my thing is, I've gotten past the Kumbaya story. That's over for me. Let us all just get along, and it's going to be a wonderful life, and one day we're going to all come join hands, and we're going to be able to live in this nation free, because that's not true, according to what we believe and according to what Scripture says. So, you know, I sent out an email this week about the rapture versus the wilderness, and I got a lot of feedback from that, because from the Christian standpoint, most of the Christians are waiting for the rapture to take place and for them to be caught up and caught away from this. That's their exit strategy. We'll deal with it because we know Jesus is coming to take us up out of here, and as long as he come take us, we can deal with the struggles of life, and as long as he help us out every once in a while, we have a testimony that we can give to the world, then we know this thing is real. And our response to that is we beg to differ, because I too was in Christianity, a pastor, a church, all of that, and read the same scriptures that you read, and nobody ever told me about the wilderness until I came over here and began to realize that the culture of our real identity, which we believe to be the Hebrew Israelites, is that our journey is to leave this place. Nobody in our community is teaching our children that we came here on ship to build a nation and to be in captivity. The whole purpose why we are all here is because we came as a punishment to be in captivity, and that the land that belongs to us was taken from us. This is not our land, so we'll never, ever, 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 never be equal on this land. I don't care how much money you have and what you have aspired to, we'll never be equal on this land. So nobody's talking about our exit strategy out of here. We have just conformed and assimilated ourselves into this culture to the point where we realize we're feeding ourselves this lie, like one day it's going to get better and we just going to all get along and the white folks going to love us and we're going to all be one big happy story, happy family. And that's a lie. That is not going to happen. You remember, Brother Donia, we were talking about Ghana.
Mm-hmm.
And Brother Donia, I brought to my attention that Ghana has apologized for selling us into slavery, that they've come to the point where they've apologized. We want to apologize to the black people for selling them into slavery. Well, that's fine. We accept the apology, but at the same time, I still don't trust you, because if you do it once, you will do it again. And all this, you can come back to Ghana, and we'll be able to give you land. You know what? We've already built one country. We're not going to build another one. The next place that we go in terms of soil will be our own land, and we will build up our own government according to the word of Yah. So, you know, all of that, you can come over here if you want to leave America. That's a strategy for us to build up their country. And we've already built one country. And it is one of the strongest countries that has ever existed. So we know we have the power to build our own. And, again, I'm going to stop talking because I can go on and on. If you want to have a question, comment, concern, please push one. We want to hear what you have to say. Brother Donia, you want to say anything else before I play this next clip?
No, go right ahead and play the clip, and I'll come in afterwards.
Here we go.
Six Nation with Reverend Al Sharpton starts right now. Good evening, Rev. Good evening, Ed, and thanks to you for tuning in. I'm live tonight from Washington, D.C. Tonight lead an amazing day in the so-called loud music murder trial that's reignited the debate about stand your ground. 7 months after George Zimmerman was acquitted in the killing of Trayvon Martin, saying he was in fear of his life, Florida's controversial Stand Your Ground law, a law that you can use deadly force if you feel threatened, is back in the national spotlight. This case began one evening in November 2012 at a gas station in Jacksonville, Florida. Michael Dunn got into an argument about loud music with four teenagers sitting inside a parked SUV. Dunn fired 10 shots at the vehicle. One of the teens, 17-year-old Jordan Davis, died at the scene. Michael Dunn is charged with first-degree murder. He says the killing was in self-defense and that the teen threatened him with a gun. But so far, no gun has been found. What this all comes down to is Will the jury believe him? He claims there was a gun, but no one else testified to that. Today, in a riveting courtroom moment, he took the stand himself. For over 3 hours, he gave dramatic testimony, and at times he broke down, wiping away tears. Here's what he says happened after he asked the teenagers in the SUV to turn down their music.
He says, yeah, I'm going to kill you. I look, and I'm looking at a barrel. He's showing me a gun, and he's threatening me. He said he was going to F and kill me, but after he opened the door, then he looked at me and said, you're dead.
And were you still sitting there in shock?
Yes, I was.
Were you still in fear for your life?
I became even more fearful at that point.
Okay. At that point, what did you believe was about to happen to you?
I thought I was going to be killed.
Did you even think he was going to be able to get a shot?
Yes, I did.
Then he demonstrated for the jury what he says happened next.
If you could you show the jury exactly what you did when you heard it's going down now?
Well, if we say over here is my glove box, I'm looking out the window, and I said, you're not going to kill me, you son of a b-, and I shot.
The stand your ground law means that the burden is on the prosecutors to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that Dunn was not in fear and that there was no gun in the SUV. And that's where they focus their cross-examination of Dunn.
Let's talk about what this, what you saw was. As you sit here today, what is it now?
It's a shotgun.
It's a shotgun. Okay, what did you tell the sheriff's office it was?
I told him it was a shotgun.
Didn't you tell him it was either a barrel or a stick?
Yes, I did. And this is after the police telling me there is no weapon recovered at the car or the scene, and me believing the police are competent and able to search the whole area. So by process of elimination, you know, it's like some kind of industrial object, a pipe, something that looked very much like a barrel. No doubt in my mind that that was a weapon, that that was a firearm.
But
the doubt came in when the police started telling me that they didn't recover anything in the car at the scene. But as we've learned, they didn't check the scene.
And when you said at that time it could have been a stick?
Yeah, and again, 2 hours of sleep, I misspoke. I mean, a stick doesn't really do justice to it. Picture anything that looks like a barrel.
The detective said at some point, is it possible it was your imagination? And you said, yes.
No, I did not. I started to say that anything is possible, but not likely. And it certainly wasn't my imagination that he came out of the car.
Dunn's fiance, Rhonda Rauer, was with him the night of the shooting and in the hours after. At the time of the shooting, she was inside the gas station's convenience store, and she was back in the car with him when they drove away from the scene. The prosecution wanted to know what he told her about the shooting.
You love Rhonda Rauer.
Yes, sir, I
do. You love her a lot, right?
Yes, sir, I do.
And you loved her back then, correct?
I love her today.
November 23rd, 2012.
Yes, sir.
You cared about her.
Yes, sir.
Right. And when she got into that car, she asked you what happened, right?
Yes, sir.
And you told this blanket to her, right?
Yes, I did.
And she, as you said, was a wreck, right?
Yes, she was.
Because she knew that you had just fired into a car with human beings inside.
She doesn't understand self-defense, but you are right. She was very upset for what I had done.
Right, right. And so you guys were together for 3 miles, and she was hysterical?
Crying, yes.
Right. You did not tell her during that 3 miles anyone pointed any weapon at you. Did.
I think I did. I think I was very clear that they threatened my life. I was very clear that they came out of their car advancing upon me. And actually comprehended what I was saying. I couldn't say.
My question was, did you tell her they had a weapon of any kind?
Yes, I did.
You did. What did you tell her? To tell the jury the term that you used to describe the weapon.
I don't know what I said, but I told her that they had a weapon, they threatened my life, and he advanced upon me.
Well, how did you describe the weapon? What did you say? They had a sword? Did you say they had a machete?
Gun.
A gun. You used the word gun with Ronda Rousey.
Yes, I did.
When?
Multiple times.
Are you telling this jury that on the way back to the hotel, you told Ronda Rauer that the boys in the car had a gun?
If I told her on the way to the hotel, I told her several times at the hotel. I told her several times on the way home.
All right, what do you say about that?
Well, first of all, yes, Dan, I wanted to know, did they actually get out of the car, the kids? Or they was out of the car and then they got back in the car, or they just showed him a gun through the window of the car. They also said that there was nobody else that seen that gun. You understand? So he blatantly shot them kids. You know? You understand? Without without anybody else. So you got to have some kind of witness to them seeing something, you understand? And I wanted to know if anybody else heard the argument that they was having. Who else was out there? You understand? A lot of questions that I would like to know, but he didn't have no right to shoot them kids down. He could have gotten his car and moved to another spot, you understand? You know, and left them kids alone, or he could have called the police. You understand? You know, he could have went into the store and asked them people to call the cops. They got their music out there blasting, and there's a party going on in the station. He could have done a lot of different things rather than shoot them kids down. You understand? And on the stand there, they was talking about the newscaster said that he had that little smirk on his face like it was a joke to him.
He still do. That's what I'm saying. What do we do as a people, as a nation? How do we do? What do we do to stop it? I mean, because they being teenagers, I roll with loud music when I was a teenager. That's what teenagers do, and you know what I'm saying. And like you said, call the police if you don't want the sound, if you don't like the sound, or drive off. But that's what teenagers do. They do that. I mean, you know. So my thing is, as a nation and as a people, you know, what do we do? I mean, because something we have to do. Do we need to start educating our children more and getting our children ready for, or getting our children prepared for this? What do we do to get them educated enough to prepare them? Because we can't put guns in their hands. We can't.
Yeah, it's our responsibility to try to educate our children a little bit better and a little bit more, and start trying to bring them up out of this mess and give them some more. Give them something better to look forward to. You understand? See, there's no magic bullet to make this stuff stop. You understand? But if we don't do nothing, then we're giving these guys carte blanche. You understand? To be able to do anything that they want to our children. Dr. Umar Johnson said that there's a war on our black children. You understand? If they get the children off the streets, then they can do anything they want to the elders and everybody and the younger. You understand? That's what they did in ancient times. You understand? They started killing off all of the newborn males. You understand? So that they wouldn't have no problem. You understand, that they wouldn't latch on to the other nations, you understand, and build them nations up to fall on Egypt. You understand? So that's a strategy of theirs. We got to come up with our own strategy, man, and stop contributing to our own demise. You understand? So, there's a lot of things that need to be talked about, you understand, and we don't need to be wasting no time. You understand what I'm saying? We need to come together in a conference or whatever, you understand, and find out what we need to do and move on it. They had a young lady. Look here, they had a young lady that shot into the air in her garage because her husband threatened her. She got 20 years. This is happening in Florida, I think. I think it was another Florida case. You understand? She's a black woman, got 20 years. You understand? She didn't even kill nobody. She shot into the air just to scare him off. You understand? And she got 20 years. You understand? Well, I don't understand what they're doing here. Well, I understand. It's a war on black folks, period. Hallelujah.
But you know what? When we take the time and we sit down and say, come sit down with us and just hear us out, because we're an extension of our nation that's not caught up on cults. We're not caught up on specific dress codes. We do follow what the scriptures say, but we don't walk around in costumes all day. We just regular people that know their culture, know their heritage, and we do the things that are necessary according to the scriptures. Come sit down with us so that we can explain the whole process, because we're not going to be here forever. It was never the plan of the Most High in the scriptures for us to be here in this land forever. And people are so culturally stuck. They're so culturally ingrained into this that their minds cannot tell them anything different. Their minds tell them, oh, they don't know what they're talking about. You know, they don't treat me like that. I don't experience those kind of things, or I don't know nothing about those kind of things. Nobody wants to take the time to come and sit down and say, hey, there is a plan for us to be leaving up out of here. And unfortunately, like I said, it took me to sit down and really begin to study the whole wilderness concept and have some of the teachers explain to me the wilderness concept, that I knew that we were eventually going back to our own land. And it's difficult for us to be able to grasp that concept, because that's too hard for us to accept, because we have become so comfortable with where we are, it is very difficult for us to accept anything less. So we continue to allow our children to get comfortable, because unfortunately you cannot get comfortable. I don't care what you have to train them in a certain manner to always be on guard, because you can't get comfortable, because there's too much evil out there. I mean, we just talked about last week the pedophiles. They're changing the pedophilia diagnosis from being an illness to a lifestyle choice. And the brother called in from California and said that they have that they passed a law where the transvestite, if they want to, can go in the male's bathroom or the female's bathroom. And then we have all these influential black people. We got all these influential black people that have arrived that we see on TV all the time, and none of them are pooling their money together to open up schools or to do anything. So what do we do?
Yeah. We up against it. We got to realize. Those that's sitting on the fence, that's saying that this stuff never happens to them, and them little boys shouldn't have been playing their music loud. But that's what kids do. You understand? I was a child one time too, strange as it may seem. you understand? They got to realize that. Why would we sit on the fence and say, that don't happen to me, I don't live in that area, I don't have that kind of stuff going on, you understand? You got that one time. I'm sure that those little boys didn't expect that to be happening to them either. You understand?
No.
You know? So we sit back and don't do nothing, you understand? And then it gets worse. It's going to get worse if we don't do nothing, because we're giving them we're giving them free reign. You understand? See, let me tell you this here. It reads in the scriptures, you understand, that the Almighty put these people who are reigning over us in the fork of from the northern region. He brought those people on us because of our sins. This nation right here was put together because of our sins. You understand? So they wouldn't dare you know, hit that, and they were a people of no intelligence at all. Period. They lived in the caves of Europe. You understand?
You know,
and they brought he brought them people over. Hello?
Yeah, we have an area code 706 on the line. I want to get them on the air. Hold on one moment, please, Brother Donnie. I want to give them an opportunity to speak.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, you're on the air. Yeah, this is Rooster J. Mack from Thompson, Georgia.
Hello.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I was listening again to the show. And the way I see that about what you're talking about, you see, these things are going to continue to happen to us no matter what we say because of the curse that y'all put us under. I mean, we can talk and talk, but in order for us to educate the kids, we're going to have to be able to educate them about Yah, the Creator, and what he says to do and
that's
not
true.
To do. And that's where it's going to start at. Now, if they don't want to accept it, then you know that's them. Because you remember now, Yah only said there's going to only be a remnant of people who are going to take hold of this. And once we go back into the wilderness, there's going to be a lot of people going to die there in the wilderness because they don't want to accept what Yah says to do. And Yah tell you how he's going to bring us back home. All you got to do is read over there in Ezekiel. He'll tell you, with a stretched out arm and fury pulled out, he's going to bring you back into the wilderness of the people. And, you know, and sooner or later that's going to happen. But if you don't want to accept Yah, you don't want to do what he say. And these are the things that are going to continue to happen. And that's where it's going to start. Is they've got to be educated about Yah, the Creator. But yeah, but Yah said that things would be going on in a land, and we owe him because this land is not ours. And I still say again today, and I know a lot of people will argue with me, but that land over in Israel is not our land, not what Benjamin that, because you see what's happening to Benjamin, that stuff over there beginning to fall apart. That is not the land. And people will argue with me about that, but I'm telling you that ain't it. And Benjamin ain't no leader. You see all that's falling apart. He jumped and did something he shouldn't have done, and Yah was not with him. And that's the problem that you got over there now with them standing by some nuclear reactor and a bomb now to fall on them from Palestine or wherever, because that land over there belongs, that's the Palestinian land that they took. That ain't our land, so I don't even worry about it. Our land is somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And it's where the Euphrates River runs, if you really want to know. But anyway, but that's all I got to say.
Shalom, shalom, hallelujah. I agree with the brother. I mean, you know, it's a lot going on because I remember I read earlier this week that Iran did a simulation even about dropping a bomb over on Dimona because it is where the nuclear reactor is. And you know the soil over there has to be contaminated if the nuclear reactor is over there and they're living. Because they have a documentary that they put out about Dimona, but when you look at the documentary and the houses and stuff, it looks like a camp out of Cambodia. And it's like, you guys have been over there for 40 years. That's a long time. It seemed like that. It would have been some changes or something. So I do. I agree with the brother, Eric Code 706. We thank you for your comment. You know, we have to start educating our people because, like I said, we're looking for justice in a place where, you know, it's going to be very few and far in between. And the more we educate our children and send them out into the world, because most of our children live in predominantly black neighborhoods. They go to predominantly black schools. And some of them have not really experienced real life racism and segregation. They've not experienced it. And then they get out or they move into a multicultural neighborhood where it's predominantly white, and they have the teenage experience, but they're considered to be a thug. And because of the image that they have allowed them to portray as our teenagers through the music industry, through the television industry, through all of the propaganda that they have put out there to make us target number one. So all of these things are, and if the outside world doesn't start listening to us, they don't start paying attention to us, it is getting ready to get worse than you can ever imagine. I mean, for real, we've been crying and screaming this stuff forever. And we're constantly putting together events, organizations, trying to pull people in, trying to educate people, and people just are not interested because why? They've gotten comfortable, and they have basically rocked our people to sleep. Our people are asleep.
Do you know what it says in the scriptures? We wax fat and kick. That means we got comfortable enough to sit back and relax. You understand? We're eating good. Mm-hmm. You understand? We got a chance to win the lottery. We have the fabulous homes, big cars, nice cars, and some of us got real good jobs. But guess what? Them jobs is getting ready to fold up. You understand?
Yeah,
they getting ready to kill all of them jobs. You understand? And that little bit of money that we stay, got in the bank. You understand? We're gonna be getting pennies on the dollar. You understand? If you don't believe me, see some of these news things. Listen to some of what's going on. You understand? They're getting ready to crash this whole society here. You understand? And they don't care who it hurts. You understand? They don't care nothing. Those Europeans don't care nothing about their own folk. So how they going to care about us? We was only supposed to be here as a labor force. That's all. You understand? When they finish building up this society using us as the labor force, it's time for us to go. You understand? And whether it's murder, you understand, or locking us up in the penitentiary, or changing us all into homosexuals, you understand? They got this brother here who's getting ready to go and play pro football. He's the first homosexual. He came out and said that he was a homosexual. You understand? I'm telling you, man, that's the nastiest thing that you could even want to claim. Hallelujah.
And to come back on that, because I hate to say piggyback, because you know we don't do the whole pig thing at all. But you know we just got to start listening. I mean, you know, we listened to the pastor. They performed and showed out on Sunday. They hooped and hollered and hucked. They spit and gave a good message, and all that was good. But guess what? That was to keep us at a certain level of as well. You know, we got to get to the point where we start listening, because we do have the solution to the problem. We do have the solution. And the biggest solution, like the brother said, is to educate our people on Yah, because we have a law that governs us as a people. We have a law that he gave us that governs us as a people as to how to act. We have a law that tells us what to do when somebody breaks that law and treats us wrong. We have laws that govern us as a people, and we have to start listening to those laws, or else we're going to keep on giving birth to babies, recycling them through this system, and this system is just going to keep on damaging them and infiltrating their mind and teaching them garbage and basically dumbing us down. Our minds is already closed up, because y'all say he is the one that closed our eyes as to the fact of who we really are. He is the one that
2,000 years.
You know, but that's what I'm saying. So when you've had all these hundreds of years of a culture that has been given to us, you've had hundreds and hundreds of years of assimilation. You've had hundreds and hundreds of years of treatment, mistreatment, and things. Like you said, the labor force, we were a labor force. Well, now they're relaxing the immigration laws. Why? Because they know that eventually we're not going to be here. So guess what? They relaxing the immigration laws because they need a new labor force.
That labor force
is going to come in here and do what they need to do, because they know the scripture just like we know the scriptures. They know. They know exactly what is in store for us. They know exactly what the Most High said is going to happen to us. They know what's going to happen. But we got to start educating our people. And like he said, we're going to lose some. We're going to lose some, because some people just refuse to accept it. They will not listen, no matter what we do. And, yes, we can create our own schools, and I think we need them. We need them to educate our people, because we got thousands and hundreds and thousands and millions of people waiting on the rapture to take place, because that's their exit strategy. But then when you turn around and tell them, have you heard about the wilderness? Do you know anything about the wilderness at all? Has anybody ever taught you about the wilderness? Do you know what's supposed to come next? Do you know the signs and what to look for? People look at you at a loss. Like, what are you talking about? You are talking crazy. So
yeah.
we're trying to get people prepared, because some people are going to have to suffer some real inhumane treatment because they refuse to just listen. And we're not twisting arms, and we're not out in the street yelling and screaming at nobody. We're just saying listen, because, you know, not to say that this incident could have been avoided, because the man looked like he was out for a reason. He just needed a reason to do what he needed to do, because he has a smirk on his face right now. because he thinks he's going to get away with it.
Yep. Yeah,
so, you know,
the thing that I'm concerned with, and what bothers me most is that why are we waiting? If we know something is going to happen, why can't we set ourselves up at least so? Because if we in Zephaniah, if we gather ourselves and seek humility and righteousness, you understand, we may be saved. We may be hidden in the day of his great wrath. So if we know that this wrath is coming, how come we ain't doing nothing? I don't get that.
And like I said, you know, if you want us to come, we'll come. If you want us to come to your place, to your town, you know, we don't necessarily have to come to your church. Matter of fact, I'm making an announcement today. We're starting our School of Knowledge, which is going to start on March the 1st. It's going to be free and open to the public. If you're interested in being a part of the School of Knowledge, all we need you to do is to email us at the YehudaProject@gmail.com. And Yehuda is spelled YEHUDAH. Just email us, and we will give you the necessary information that you need. It's going to be done via the Internet. We're going to have all of the tools there for those who, you know, want to be a part of the teaching. And so we can get some things done, because we've got to start educating our people to get ready, because people are going to be, it's going to be a lot of people that's going to be lost, because the church has been designed to teach you a way that is not conducive to what the scripture says. And it's very difficult for some people to accept that. It's very difficult. We will be willing to sit down with your pastors. We will be willing to come into your congregation in love and sit down at the table and explain the difference. We'll send you out some YouTube clips with the teaching on it if you need it, so that you'll get some information as to what we're talking about, because we got to get the people prepared, because when it comes, guess what? You're going to have a whole bunch of people that's just going to walk away from their houses. They're going to walk away from their jobs. They're going to walk away from their cars, and they're just going to leave. And everybody gonna laugh and say, "Where's all them black people going?" Guess what? It ain't gonna be just black people, is it, Adonai? Because the scripture say the other people gonna take a hold of our skirt tail too.
That is correct. That is correct.
It's gonna be other people. It's gonna
be everybody gonna be
following up.
Look, if you read Isaiah 24:1-23, it's gonna be from the candlestick maker down to the baker, to the kings and the princesses, they all gonna want to know how they can get out this mess. You understand? And it's gonna be a mess. It's gonna be worse than we could ever imagine. You understand? But the Almighty said that He was going to hide us in the day of our troubles, in the day of His great wrath. Now, if he said that listen, there's not one time that the Almighty has said something in those scriptures, whether it be in the New or the Old Testament, you understand, that it came back void, unanswered, or was untrue. I have not seen that yet. And here's the people, and here we are, we grasp hold of these understandings, you understand, and if the Almighty hasn't been wrong yet, how come we don't want to trust in Him?
I have no idea. You know what? That's a good question. And the biggest issue is we got to prepare our people for the inevitable. I mean, people, I can't tell you enough. And my thing is, a lot of people don't believe in the 400-year prophecy, and that's fine too. But most of us do believe in the wilderness prophecy. We do believe in that. And there's a lot of things that are happening to get people prepared. And my thing is, enjoy your life. Buy your stuff. Buy your clothes. Buy your houses. Enjoy your friends, enjoy your family. But according to the scripture, there's going to come a day when all of that is going to be left here. And we're not going to be here. We are going to leave this country headed toward the wilderness. And we're going back. And that is where we're going to meet Yah face to face. And He is going to plead with us as a people. That same God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that the Christianity claims they know, He's already set up a place of safety for us, that He would be able to cover us in the time of trouble, that we would be tucked away during Jacob's trouble. But a whole lot of people are going to be lost because they're waiting on the rapture to take place, and they're believing in their pastors. And when we leave here, that's when all hell is going to break loose. So, you know, it's a lot of things that we, and we didn't mean to go in this direction, but it's a lot of things that it grieves us that our people won't take the time to just listen. They won't take the time to say, well, just let me just hear them out and see if it makes sense. Well, let me just see what they're saying is true. They have gotten us so brainwashed that we are waiting for the crack, the sky to crack open for the Most High to come and take us home, and that is just not how it's going to play out first. The wilderness comes before anything, and it comes before anybody, because we are his chosen people. We are the people of the book. I had my uncle arguing me down. He said, I've studied with the Jews. I know the Jews. I said, they're not the Jews. And he looked at me. He said, yes, they are. I said, no, they're not. But guess what? He doesn't believe that today, because today he's been studying and he's been listening, and it's changing. He's changing.
That is correct. You have to open up your eyes, and you have to open up your eyes and be willing to listen, in order for the dry bones to be rattled. If you ain't gonna open up your eyes, them dry bones gonna turn to dust. You know, that's a sad thing, man, that we don't want to take a real hard look at what's going to happen, and that we can get out this mess. You understand? We can come out of this mess, you understand, unscathed if we really did what we supposed to do. You understand? Gather ourselves and try to figure out a way and get a strategy on how to get out of this mess. And it's a mess here. This is a terrible thing. We ain't supposed to be treated like this.
But guess what? This was all preordained. It was all according to Scripture. America was built on the premise for our captivity. We came here. We were tortured. We were murdered. We were hung. Our men were castrated. The women was cut up. We was raped. We was sodomized. We was chopped. They used to chop our babies up and feed them to the alligators. Some of them used them for fish bait. All of the stuff that was done to us has been done. And through certain humane societies and human societies that care about the treatment of human beings, it hasn't been to that degree. So they do things like kill people or kill our teenagers and are justified because of fear that they fear, because of a threat that they feel, or just because they feel like it, or because they assume that there was a threat, then they're able to get away with it. But the fact of the matter is, we were brought here as a punishment. This was supposed to be, this whole country was designed to be a punishment. And I don't care how much money you have, I don't care where you live, I don't care how much social acceptance there is, what social clubs you belong to, I don't care about none of that. You still experience it, and you know you do. And it's not going to change. Only way it's going to get better is when we start realizing who we are, start following the law, and preparing ourselves to leave. We have
correct.
To start preparing ourselves to leave. There is a place, let me repeat myself, there is a place of safety prepared for us to be able to go to, because it is getting ready to get really bad. There is a place of safety prepared, and if you want to know about it, I will be more than happy to email you some information. You can email me at theyehudaproject@gmail.com, and Yehuda is spelled Y-E-H-U-D-A-H. We've got to start getting our people prepared to leave. This is not going to get any better. We are not fighting the white people over this land. They can have this country. We have our own land, and we are preparing ourselves to leave.
Yeah. You know,
okay,
see, that, you know, at one time, at one point.
Please push one. I'm sorry, what did you say, Brother Donnie?
Oh, at one point, you understand, in all our captivities, there was the Almighty had given charge to an individual or a couple of individuals in Daniel's time, you understand, for us to waken our people, you understand, so that we could get out, so that there will be some effort in on our behalf to get out of this mess. You understand? Now, here we are. There was a chattel slavery. The Almighty said that he was going to change, bring out captivity, bring our captivity out right before our eyes, change our captivity right before our eyes. Now, there was a chattel slavery at one particular time. Now, we control what's going on in our lives at this particular point. We can make a difference here. You understand? You know, now, not to say that the slavery, the curse is over with, because it ain't over with until we in our land. That's period. You understand
that's,
what I'm saying?
That's right.
But there is a window of opportunity for us to make some kind of difference in how this thing plays out. You understand? So we need to try to take this window opportunity and turn it into some something that so that the Almighty could grasp, you know, steer us in the direction that he want us to go. You understand? Right now, you understand, we all over the place and we ain't nowhere on the page. You know? You understand?
You know,
so we got to try to do something about that. The best thing that I see that we could possibly do is start coming together and start get together a formula, a strategy, something that we need to do, you understand what I'm saying, so that we may be steered in the right direction. You understand? Of course the curse is there. Of course it's not, but the Almighty said that he was going to turn our captivity right before our eyes. And he's doing that because we are no longer being strung up and killed and maimed and murdered, you understand, like that captivity, like it was in the when we first got here. Now, you understand, the Almighty has changed our captivity and turned it, you understand, to a point where we control some stuff here now. You understand? We control a small portion of our destiny. You understand? Now we got to get our kids and keep them from getting killed and killing each other. You understand? So we got a control here that we can use. You understand? Of course, it's not going to be no magic bullet, no waving of no wand, and all this, and we go to bed and tomorrow and everything going to be all right. It's going to take some time, but it'll take less time if we got involved in our own destiny. Hallelujah.
And also, all I want to say is educate, educate, educate.
Yep.
We have to learn how to educate, educate, educate. That is the key. Educate, educate, educate. And if you want to join with us in helping to build and to helping to brand and helping to educate, we need all the help we can get. We need the help from the Christians. We need the help from the Muslims. We need the help from the non-believers. We need the help from everybody to be able to come in and pass this information on and educate, educate, educate. Because even if you don't believe it, what we're saying today, even if you don't have a mind to believe it, at least you'll have it in the back of your mind tucked away to use it and say, well, if this happened, then I know to do this. But if I see this happening, then I know to do this. Because I'm telling you, we got to get our children prepared to understand who they are, because it is the power is in knowing who you are and whom you belong to. And it's not the story that you've been given. We're going to continue to see our children get murdered. We're going to continue to see people getting justified for murdering our children. We're going to continue to see us being the last ones hired. We're going to continue to see us having to spend thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollars on education, and we have to be the best of the brightest. And then we're going to continue to see that black man or that black woman that set out in front for everybody else to see, that don't contribute and don't bring no money back into the community, that's not allowed to help the community to grow. So we have the stability to go to the communities, to come to the churches, to sit down with the teenagers, to sit down with the young women, to sit down with the parents, to go find the fathers and to train the mothers, to teach the young girls how to come off the poles in the strip clubs and stuff, and to stop walking around with your body hanging all out and your britches all down on your butt and all that kind of stuff, to bring some culture back into our people, some responsibility, some integrity to our nation of people, because it is going to hell in a handbasket. And we got to stop. We cannot allow, continue to allow them to be able to teach our children the things that we know is an abomination to the Most High. We do not have the, according to Torah, and for you all who don't know, according to Torah, homosexuality is against the law, and it is punishable by the death penalty over here where we live. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, it says, has sent specific directions that if you find two men laying together like they lay with a woman, to kill both of them. If you find a man laying with a beast the way he lays with a woman, kill the beast and the man. So all of these things, and same vice versa for the women. These are the things that we have been mandated to do, but because we're not in our own land and we're not subject to implement that part of our law, the judgment part of our law, then we cannot do anything. We have to sit back and watch our children and watch our men and our women get sucked into this perversion, and they've been made to believe that it's okay. Whatever you feel like doing, you just do it because it's okay to do. Just so long as it make you feel good, there's going to be consequences to pay, people. It's going to be consequences to pay.
The worst thing in the world for anybody to even say out their mouth is that he's homosexual. I just can't get that one. It breaks my heart for a man, to say that he was homosexual. You understand? Now, he's saying that he always felt like he was that way since he was a child. You understand? You know, if they didn't teach that stuff was all right, he wouldn't even know that he was homosexual. It wouldn't be no way of telling that he was homosexual. But they say that that's all right. So that little feeling that he got, you understand, that must be, you must be homosexual. Come on,
right,
man.
Right.
Ooh,
and it
Lord
has to
have
be
mercy,
it
man. Don't that don't
be.
Make some of y'all sick? You understand, God Almighty?
You know what? You
understand?
You know what, Brother Tony? And the biggest thing is we have to prepare ourselves for the church. Because one thing about it, I won't just say the church all over, because the Most High said he was going to wake the people up. He said you would be made to serve other gods of wood and of stone. And that we would be sent to this land and to serve other gods of wood and of stone, and that he was going to wake the people up. So all we're doing is preparing for when the awakening happens so that we can be able to help the people to consciously steer their information to the point where they don't end up in the hands of some of these quackpots that call themselves Hebrew teachers, some of these quackpots that's out there that's teaching hatred, murder the white man, black women ain't shit, they ain't no good, don't fool with black women. All that stuff is getting ready to come to a complete cease. All that's going to come to a complete end, and the Most High is going to have a righteous nation, just like he said, because the one thing that we cannot forget is that he is holy.
That is
and
correct.
All of these brothers that's going to come off of the street corner and they woke up and think that Yah has recruited them to be the Yah police, and for them to condemn people and to shoot people in the foot and to cut us up and do all the things, the Most High is getting ready to deal with all of that. Our job is to create. The nation of Yehuda is designed to create a place of safety for them to run into where they are not ridiculed or criticized. Yes, we're going to talk about certain topics. Yes, we're going to deal with homosexuality. Yes, we're going to deal with the way that you're supposed to wear your clothes, because we're not supposed to wear any fabric that's mixed, and we're supposed to wear tassels on our clothes, on the four corners of our clothes, and those are the things that we do. But other than that, we're not requiring you to wear turbans, wear dashikis and all that. You just be, because we have to learn to follow the law. Those are the things that we have to learn, and we have to get used to those things first. So the whole purpose of our endeavor is to be prepared. We want people that are educated, that know how to put a corporation together. We want people that are not educated, that are wanting to learn how to do things. We want to open up recruitment for everybody to come in. We don't care whether you're Messianic, or non-Messianic. We want everybody to come in because, like Brother Donny, I say, at the end of the day, while we're still here, we have to learn how to survive. While we're still here, we have to have an exit strategy. If anything happens, we can get food from here. If we don't have any water, we know we can call Brother Donny out. He can ship us 3 cases of water from Atlanta. We have to have something in place for just a natural disaster.
That is correct. When they had that disaster in New Orleans, we should have been the first bus down there to try to help them brothers and sisters out of that mess. You understand? But we didn't have nothing set up. Now we realize that we need to have something set up for natural disasters. You understand? We need to have something put in place so that we can help somebody. You understand? When this place crashed and everybody was, their mortgage was due, we should have had some money put together so that we can help them brothers and sisters that was going through that trouble. They had them houses for 20 years. You understand? Now they can't pay their mortgage. You understand? We should be able to do things like that. Because those people are our people. Those people are you and me and anybody else. You understand? You know, because it could happen to either one of us. You understand? So we need to have these things in place. You understand what I'm saying? That's why I was saying, you know, that, you know, in the Hebrew understanding, they have a tithe that they supposed to bring up 10% of their crops and their cattle, you understand, so that, and they give it to the Levites. The Levites will distribute it to the widow, the homeless, the father, the elderly, you understand, and people like that. And they were supposed to build a storehouse. We need a financial institute so that we can straighten out all of those things. We can come up with stuff. We can support some of these things. We can support a medical facilities, man, because most of us don't like to go to them white folks, man, or them Europeans, man, and for them to tell us that we got something that we ain't. Say, come on.
That's true. And I want to make an announcement, too. I want to let you all know that I thank you all so much for being a part of my show. And as a result of the show, we had a lady that has agreed. She has accepted the appointment of the Director of Public Health. She has a master's degree in nursing, and she has a master's degree in public administration with a focus on health and wellness. So she has accepted the appointment of being our Director of Public Health and through the Nation of Yehuda. So as a result of the radio show, we have people that have come on board that have been willing to put together. We also have a lady out of Pittsburgh. And she accepted the appointment of our education director, and she's put together a syllabus for the School of Knowledge that we're setting up for September, for March the 1st. We also have a brother that's accepted the appointment for our elderly and aging department, and we put him in situation as being the director of those departments. So we're putting departments together so that we can actually set some things up so that we'll be able to help each other. And quite a few other brothers. I think the young man who was on the call last week that was calling from Chicago, he's agreed to be a part of our youth and media department to get our information out to our youth. So the Nation of Yehuda is really beginning to grow and to build, and that's what we want. That's the whole reason for the call as well, is to bring everybody in from all walks of life that would be willing to bring all of their expertise to the table so that we can sit down and begin to build our nation and to be able to help ourselves in the time of trouble, because we know what's going to happen. And we, you know, we spend this money every month to make sure that this show is on for four Sundays out of every week so that we can get this information to you so that you can be prepared. But at some point, you're going to need more than this. And, you know, our website, the reason why our website is taking so long is because we're still waiting on our graphic arts department to put together our logo, and we're changing our logo. And also they're designing a flag for us because we have to have a symbol and a flag. So we're putting all those things together. And once we get those things done, we will be launching our website, and it's really something to see. And like I said, we have several opportunities available. All of these opportunities are done virtually over the Internet, We do everything through email and phone calls and PowerPoint presentations. And the appointments that you will accept will be definitely on a volunteer basis because none of us are being paid, but we just have a love for our people, and we want to make sure that our people have the information and the support that they need. So if you feel like you want to offer anything to us, please email us at the Yehudah Project, and Yehudah is spelled Y-E-H-U-D-A-H at gmail.com. We also are partnering with a lot of organizations, and they were talking. I have one of the guys on the chat line that's talking about the American Farmers Organization Network. It's a network of farmers that are using sustainable growing methods, that they offer seeds and different things like that for those who are interested in growing their own and having, he said that there's help in financing, and they give free starter cattle, seeds, and fertilizers and more. So there's a lot of information out there. And I think the website is www.tuskegee.edu/home.aspx. And somebody can check that out. I haven't checked it out as of yet. I don't like to give out a whole lot of information without checking it out first. But, I mean, these are the things that we're bringing to the table for us to realize how we're going to survive in a time of trouble and what we need. You know, we need emergency management teams to be able to say, okay, I know how to do this. We have a couple of nurses on staff. We have a lot of nurses' assistants that are on board now that will be willing to help. We're going to introduce the director of public health in about 2 weeks. She's going to come on the line. And if you have any questions about health, wholeness, what herbs to buy for certain healing, we're going to offer that as well. She'll be here to answer any of your questions, and we'll be announcing that. It won't be this Sunday. It'll be 3 Sundays from now that she'll be on the line, and we want to introduce her to everybody and get everybody situated and getting ready to go, because this is what this is all about. This is the building of the nation of Yehuda, is getting our people prepared to understand what's going on. We also, this is some good stuff. We're trying to help our black women. Our black women have caught it, and I mean we have caught it bad. If you go on YouTube, there are more and more black men downing black women, and Hebrew men as well as regular men. And we're trying our best to do something to change the image of our women. So we are putting together an organization for our women, and if you have any of the sisters that are interested in becoming a part of this organization, we want you to have them also to email us. We want to go to different cities and do fashion shows and teaching them how to take care of their skin and teaching them how to take care of their hair and just changing the whole image of our black women, you know, to the point where we're looked upon as princesses again, and, you know, not whores and sluts and sliding down poles with all that kind of stuff. We're trying to change all that. So help us to do that. You know, because if you've talked about it, we've talked about it enough. If we've called each other names, we've done that enough. Help us to build this thing up. And we're doing it here in our city. We're starting with our women in the projects. We're going to the projects, and we're going to start offering programs. We're doing this of our own free time. And health and wellness and how to take care of your bodies and, you know, how to be presentable and, you know, how to look like a lady and all that kind of stuff. All this stuff is important because we need our men, and we do not want to lose our men because a certain few men don't have enough sense to know that the more you beat us up, the worse that we look to the outside world, and we need to keep family business among ourselves. There shouldn't be no YouTube clips and all that stuff going on because the women are not going to change from being abused. They need some hugs and some love and some understanding. So this is what we're trying to do. And the Nation of Yehuda is on the rise, and we're trying to make some things happen. So, you know, if you have some talents or some energies that you want to bring and you want to exhibit with us, we would love to have you here, and we'll give you a show so we can platform what you do. We can actually be on 5 days a week. We just only choose Sunday because for us it's the first day of the week, and everybody's usually sitting around, and this is a good day to have it. But we'll give you your own show each day of the week. I mean, one day of the week if you'd like, if you were part of our team, so you can present to us what you have and introduce our callers to certain things. So I just want to make that announcement. And also, we still have quite a few people on the line. If you want to add something, please push 1. We want to hear from you. Go ahead, Brother Donia.
Kane, I wanted to commend you on that effort to try to get those things and put those things in place because, see, that's what's necessary. You understand? That we have to start taking charge of our own destiny. You understand? We got to try to give the children a better look at what we really are and who we really are. You understand? They can't go, you know, right now, you understand, I looked on, well, it was, yeah, I guess it was a YouTube presentation. They had this little girl, you understand, twerking, and she wasn't no more than about 7 or 8 years old. What is that? You understand? Is that what she's learning at home? And is that what she's getting from the outside world? You understand? We need to try to teach our children something that there's a better way. You understand? We can be more attractive to our our counterparts. You understand? Male and female. You understand? By trying to by sprucing ourselves up. You understand? They don't have to take off their clothes to be attractive.
That's true. That's true. Absolutely not. That's the stuff that we learn from them. That's the stuff that we learn. I have a video, a YouTube video that I have to find, and I'm mad at myself because I had it years ago. And basically what it was a brother did a documentary, and if anybody knows what this video is, please email it to me because a brother did a documentary on twerking, and shaking your butt and all that kind of stuff. But it actually, he showed the women on the slave ship. And the women were shaped. They were dressed in these little tutus with their breasts hanging out. And the slave owners, he'd have them in a room. And the slave owner would go in the room and walk through each one of the women. And in order for them to draw attention, they would shake their little butts and twerk their little butts, and the slave owner would walk around and look at the back of them to see what they was and to see whether or not they wanted them. So all of this stuff, this is the kind of stuff I'm talking about. These are the stuff. This stuff is not new. This stuff is only new because our young people think it's new, but they've been doing this to us for years. This is the stuff that was introduced to us on the ship. When we came over here on the ship, not only were they raping women, they was raping boys. So this is a lot of stuff that's going on right now that we have to be conscious of. So, I mean, I really want that show. If anybody has access to that, please send that to me because we need to put a documentary together and send it off to the schools or send it off to the churches. Since we can't get them in school, we need to send it to the churches. So the churches can start showing these young people that this is what's going on. What do you think about that, Brother Donia?
I think that's an excellent idea. I always wanted to try to get some kind of documentary together to show where we at, what got us here, you understand, and what we need to do to get out of this mess also. You understand? All of that needs to be put together in a presentation or on a DVD as a documentary. You understand? So that we reach a lot of more people that way, I believe.
I agree with you 100%. You know, and these are the things that our people don't realize, and then they got us all on TV, men and women, with their bouncing their butts, and it's like, are you serious? I mean, come on. You know, like you said, little bitty kids, we need to start teaching our children our real heritage because this isn't anything new. They sodomized us on the boat.
Yeah, that's a,
they came
awesome.
Over sodomizing us. Before we even got here, we were sodomized on the boat. So
yeah,
all this stuff is did.
Yeah, that's a terrible thing. We taking it on as though it's a way of life now. You understand? We just infested with it, and that's what we can't do nothing about it. Yes, we can do something about it. I don't say that at all. I say that we can do something about it. We the same people that built this here and put this whole thing together, and in each captivity, you understand, we managed to survive out of it. You understand? So we can survive out of this one, and we're going to do better. That's what I believe in my heart. You understand? I believe that, you understand, you know, that if we come together as a nation or as a as a people, because let me say this here. Every black person that put their foot on this continent, whether they came over here by ship or they came over here, you understand, and they didn't come over here as slaves. They all were affected by them Europeans. All of them, every one of them, you understand? And so it's not just one person, one set of folks, you understand? It's every black man on this continent right here that is affected by these folks. You understand? All right, you might not be immediately affected, but just give us some time. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. So like you said, we have a lot of things, good things, and we're trying to combat the evil with good. We're trying to combat the conditioning and the mind control with education and getting knowledge out there, because when you really understand what's done to us, I mean, when you think about all of the people that have had atrocities done to them, and they've been paid. All of the people, all of the nations that have deliberately mistreated other nations, they've been paid for it. Well, our nation is the only group of people that have not received reparation. We won't ever receive reparation for what we've done. So our job is to understand that and to grow our people into a nation to be proud of, a nation, a holy nation, a nation of people with righteousness. And everybody's not coming. We've come to that conclusion. That everybody's not coming. Everybody's not going to participate. Everybody doesn't care. Some people don't care one way or the other, and they think life is going to go on for the next 50, 60 years, and they're going to die here, and everything's going to be great. And that's fine. We're not pulling arms and pulling teeth. But like I said, there's a lot of things that we need. We're looking for people that have security background, because we need a director of security, and we need people that would be willing to travel with us when we go to different locations, because we're going to start traveling to different cities and doing educational seminars. We're getting ready to start. We pushed back the Atlanta trip to at least the 1st of October to give us a chance to really get our feet dug into the soil of Atlanta and give an opportunity. Well, I think what we're going to call that, too, is that's going to be our State of the Nation address that we usually do every year, and we're going to have a think tank. And the whole purpose of the State of the Nation address is for the think tank to take care of, because we do our State of the Nation address every year, and that what perfect way to do that than to have a think tank going on there. And like I said, we're inviting everybody to come to the table, not just Hebrew Israelites, but pastors and everybody to be able to come to the table so that we can get an eye view of what's going on and be able to understand what's happening and what's going on with our nation of people. So those are the things that we wanted to talk about today. Though this is the reason for the show. You know, we try to touch controversial issues. We don't mean to put anybody down. We have much love for everybody. You know, if you're struggling with whatever it is you're struggling with, we're here to talk. We need grief counselors. We need counselors that will be able to talk for abuse counselors. We need all those things, because we'd be willing to set those phone numbers up, but we got to have people that would be consistent to answer those calls. Those are the reasons why we don't have those things in place, is because we have to have people that are committed. We have to really put forth an effort to help our people. We have to start doing that. Positive things to help our people, to be able to provide resources for our people. Like Adonia said, money. There's plenty of women out there that can't pay their rent today. And, you know, we should be able to shoot $400 over to somebody that needs it. We should be able to do that. We should be able to have a Facebook page or something set up specifically for a benevolent fund for people to be able to say, hey, and somebody should be willing to manage that. You know, if somebody shoots you up on Facebook, look, I'm stranded. I need a couple hundred dollars to get home. We should be able to contact the people that are on that page and say, hey, can everybody just send $25 or $15 to help this brother, or the sister don't have groceries? These are the things that we're trying to do. I mean, we're trying to do the best we can with what we have. We don't have much, but what we do have, we're willing to share. And there's people out there that's worth millions of dollars, pro ball players, movie stars, actors, singers, and we don't see that. We're trying to reach out to them, too. We need your help. Because you're going to be affected by it, too.
That is correct. You are absolutely right. Look at that brother who just claimed to be homosexual. He getting ready to get big money playing football. Is any of that money going to come to help out? I think not.
I don't know. You know, I'm just trying to. And we want to extend our condolences to the family of the young man that was shot and killed in Florida. You know, from the nation of Yehuda, our heart goes out to you. You know, I think it's his last name was Davis. So to the Davis family, if there's anything that we can do to help you in any way, if there's anything we can provide, whether it be prayer or funding or whatever we can do, please don't hesitate to email us at the Yehuda Project, Y-E-H-U-D-A-H, at gmail.com, the Yehuda Project at gmail.com, so that we will be able to provide assistance, because we have to stick together because everybody else is sticking together.
That is correct.
Everybody else is sticking together but us.
That is correct. Mm-mm-mm. You understand? Mm-mm-mm. It's our job and it's our duty.
Yeah, everybody can come up off of $20 and be able to donate. If you want to donate some funds to the Nation of Yehuda, I want to give you this information too. You can go on PayPal and donate to Nation of Yehuda at yahoo.com. That is the email address for PayPal. It is Nation of Yehuda, and Yehuda spelled Y-E-H-U-D-A-H, @yahoo.com. And that is our PayPal email address. And you can directly email it into that account, and we will be more than happy, you know, to send you paperwork stating that you've made a donation or whatever. But we need as much help as we can get, because we should, as a nation, we should have been able to put some monies together and send to the Davis family, you know, along with a condolence card to be able to help the family out in situations like that. And it doesn't have to be much. A couple $100 would have been a blessing at that time. You know, you just never know what state people are in.
That is correct. You are absolutely right. And you're moving in the right direction when you say that we need to have these things in place, where we supposed to be able to help one another. When a crisis come up, we should be the first people that jump down there on it. That's what we should be. You understand?
Absolutely. We should have been in Florida to support somebody. We should have had a designated person to be willing to go to Florida and be there for the trial, to be able to offer any kind of assistance. You don't know what kind of situation they might have been in. We should have had somebody there as a representative from the Nation of Yehuda, but that takes money, and we need money to be able to do that. So we have to be able. Some people have resources. I mean, some of you all may work at hotels where you can get rooms for us at a cheap price, or get complimentary rooms for. Everybody has something they can offer, and whatever that is, that's what we need you to do. We need as much help as we can get to get this thing done, because we have to start showing love to one another. We've been beat up enough.
You know, one thing that, you know, I'm finding out here, we weren't able to be in on this particular crisis right here. And unfortunately, there's going to be other crises. That's why now we need to know how we can handle and what to do about some of these crises. Now, you made a good suggestion a while back, if it wasn't, you know, is that you were setting up a commerce. Is that what you said?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, definitely. Department of Commerce.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You know, so that we could send out a whole, amongst all of those people that we know that's connected, you understand? We sent out, man, listen, send $20, man, such and such a person needs help over here, you understand? You know, $20 or $30 or $5 per person, you understand, so that we could get some help there. As far as in Florida, we should have representatives already in Florida of the Yehuda Project, you understand, that any problem come up in there, man, we go and assess that problem. I mean, they will go and assess it and give us the information, and then we can work on it. You understand? These things need to be put in place. And I see that you're working
Absolutely.
On it, and I commend you.
Absolutely. That's why it doesn't matter where you call from. We don't care what state you're in. We need representatives all over this country to be able to say, hey, I got a representative in Oklahoma. I got a representative in California. I got one in Texas. We got a couple of people in Florida that, like he said, somebody should have went and assessed, knocked on the Davis door and said, we're a representative from the nation of Yehuda, and we heard about what happened to your son. We came to extend our condolences. Here's a few $100. Here's $500 from the nation of Yehuda to help you out of your situation, because we understand that we have to stick together. Do you know how far that would go?
That is correct.
Do you know how much power that yields? When people know, they don't even know who we are, but I know it was an organization that came to my door and knocked on my door and handed me $500 because they saw it on the Internet and wanted to help. Why can't we do that kind of stuff?
That's
we are
correct.
Not that far gone that we can't come together and do that for ourselves.
That's what we're fighting for. Does that have anything to do with the curse? No. That's just moral sense. Huh?
That's right. No, that has nothing to do with that. You're absolutely right. That has nothing to do with the curse. That's just a good, because guess what? We give to the white charities when we want to feel good about ourselves. We sign money off to different organizations. We give to the Red Cross. We give to all kind of organizations. But when it comes to us doing something, we just have a problem coming together, and we got to stop. Because the only way we're going to combat it is to do the opposite, do good.
That is correct. Yes, and that is our duty. We are connected by bloodline, whether we know it or not.
Right.
It is our duty.
And you guess what? And they don't even have to be Hebrew Israelite to be a part of the nation of Yehuda. You don't have to be a Hebrew Israelite to be a part of the nation of Yehuda. If you want to be a part of the cause and to do something good for our people, we want everybody to be able to be a part of that, because you can still come and say, hey, we have a check here for you from the nation of Yehuda, blah, 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 and they're going to send you a check. We just need to get your information, and they will be mailing you a check to help you out in this time of trouble. You know, if you're in a situation where you need groceries, you know, we will be able to get you a gift card from the grocery store and have it prepared for you so you can go to the store and pick it up and go grocery shopping for your children. This is the stuff that we can do, because we spend, how much money did that man lose on the Super Bowl last week?
$10 million.
That's a shame. You know how much we could have did with that? Do you know what we could have did with that?
That is correct. We could have got a medical institution set up. If it wasn't nothing but a clinic in most of the areas that, you know, the crime areas.
Yeah, we could have did a whole lot of stuff. Yeah. They spent $19 million here for the jazz festival in Cincinnati. They spent $19 million over a 3-day period for the jazz festival to be dressed up. $19 million. The brothers spent $10 million gambling on the Super Bowl and lost it. We have the resources, people. We have the money, people.
Yeah. Yeah. And here's my assessment on that. I don't want nobody to give up no whole lot of money like that. You know why? Because they're going to want special privileges. They're going to think that they run stuff. You understand? All I want is it be even across the board. You understand? If it's even across the board, we can make that work. The Almighty will make that work. You understand? We dealing with a creator that multiplies and manifests everything for his people. He's done that in numerous instances. You understand? So it's just a matter of us, you understand, wanting to do something, man. You understand? And listen, that money ain't going into my pocket, man. In fact, I don't want it to go in my pocket, because the Almighty always look out for me. You understand what I'm saying? And I'm living comfortably where I'm at. You understand? I don't want to change anything, because when it could be for the worse, and it knocked me out of my little bit of blessing. You understand?
Right.
So I'm not looking to get no money. Of course, if I ain't got no groceries over here, you understand what I'm saying? And y'all can help, that's fine. You understand? You know, I don't want you to give me over an abundance of nothing. You understand what I'm saying? Because then I'll be playing the game on y'all. more, you understand? So, you know, we got to be able to weigh a certain situations. You know what, I was a long time ago, you understand, when I was at Hashaba Yisrael, I think they had a program where they set up and they went around to everybody's house. Once the Levite went around to everybody's house once a week, you understand. They picked a person, they went to his house, and they made sure that everybody got something and had something to eat, you understand, and had some thing. If they could not do that, if they could not afford to do that, they didn't have any other agencies that they could go to. We should be that agency.
Right, right.
You understand what I'm saying? You know, if it was above and beyond what they could do, you understand, they didn't have no place else to go. We should be that agency.
Well, guess what? Guess what, Brother Donnie? I beg to differ. I'm not like you. I understand what your concept is, and we're going to move with all of them. I want that $10 million man, that $10 million that he lost, that he gave away to donate to the nation of Yehuda. And we'll give him a plaque with his name on it and let him know that once you give it, it's given, and that we have a committee that decides how it's handed out, and we will give you a report every quarter as to what we did with it and show you where the money went. But we need to be able to take care of our people and make sure our people are right, because we have black people out there that have dollars. We got black people out there that have aspired and have serious dollars. I am waiting on some dollars to come my way, and when they do, I'm going to drop a couple million on the program too, so that we make sure we have some dollars, because we got to have some dollars, you know, to be able to help people, because when people find out you helping, they're going to come from everywhere.
Yeah.
And it ain't going to matter whether they, that's why I get mad at the people that come on this show and tell me you can't never pray for me because of what you believe. When you hungry, you're going to come right to where we are, to the Messianic, whether we believe in Yahweh Shah or not, and we're going to still send you the money. That's why I tell people, you got to be very careful with how you handle people, because love doesn't have a condition. It's unconditional. And if you hungry, I should be able to come to me. You should be able to come to me and be able to get a piece of bread. And if I'm hungry, I should be able to come to you and get a piece of bread, because bloodline is forever. Beliefs can be changed, but bloodline is forever. So those are the things that we got to stop people from, because we don't care one way or the other. That's between you and the Most High. But we're going to make sure you, if you need something to eat. I mean, it's a whole lot of people in serious condition. People need money for these surgeries, and people need to, you know what, people have diabetes and high blood pressure. We're going to offer wholeness classes to teach you how to eat healthy and what foods to cook and how to get rid of type 2 diabetes, because you can get rid of that. It's just a matter of the way your diet, to change your diet. That's why we're going to have the director of public health come on at 3 Sundays from today, so she can start offering seminar classes. And we're going to do this through a PowerPoint presentation, and we're going to do this online, and this is going to be free to everybody. We're not charging people. We got Hebrew camps out there that's charging $90 a session for you to learn something. It's like, come on.
No, I feel
you. The people will give as long as you know they know it's free. This stuff ought to be free.
That is correct. I agree.
She's going to come on the board and teach you what to buy, they're going to have recipes and show you. We might even have a little Julia Childs or something going on through YouTube to show you how to put different meals together and how to cook with vegetables and fruits and different things like that to get that diabetes under control, to bring that blood pressure down. These are the things that our people need to know, because this is the stuff that's killing us.
That is correct. You're absolutely right. I agree wholeheartedly. When I mentioned about that million, that $10 million person, you understand, I was under a misconception. The misconception that I was under is that I don't want anybody to take advantage of the program and become king. You understand? You know.
No, but that's why you offer quarterly reports. But see, when you know how to run a corporation, when you understand, that's why education is important. When you understand how to run a corporation, when you understand what board of directors are, and when you understand to create quarterly reports, for those people who have given the money to explain to them where the money goes, they don't mind giving. It's just when you got these crooks out here that try to lie and don't tell people what they did with the money, and they go buy big old cars and boats and take vacations and buy their wives jewelry and stuff that people don't want to give. But if you can show them where the money is going, then there's no problem giving it. That's why the Most High is getting ready to send me to those groups, those brothers and sisters that have some real disposable income that can say, okay, how much you need? I need everybody in the group to send me $3 million, and it's 10 of y'all. Can you each send me $3 million? We need $3 million apiece.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, okay, y'all, Anna, we're going to get it to you. I'll make sure you get it. We'll get it to you, whatever, however you want to do it. If you have to send it to my offshore account, you can do whatever you need to do. We need people in banking that understand that sort of deal so that we can do it that way. Not that we're doing anything illegal.
You got an offshore account?
I'm just saying. When you know how to do certain things, you do them according. They do it all the time. This is done in business all the time. But you know, when you limit yourself, then you limit everybody, and we don't want to be limited. So we need people that understand banking, international banking, that can organize these things for us, set all these things up for us so that we can be prepared. Because guess what? If we choose to leave the country and go somewhere else, we got to have some money somewhere else, don't we?
That is correct. You're absolutely right. Yeah.
We got to be able to get our hands on some dollars, whether it be the National Bank of Belize or whether we do something in the Cayman Islands or wherever we decide to do whatever we need to do.
I'm going to tell
you. That's where I'm at. I mean, you know.
I've been small-minded, I guess. You understand? I was under the impression that, see, those international bankers is the ones that we're going to have to watch very, very closely because they're getting ready to give us pennies. Pennies on each one of our dollars out of those international banks and the 401ks and the IRAs. So we need to be very careful in what we are doing. I don't know the whole thing. You know, I'm talking about I don't know how to handle those type of things. But if those that do should. They need to let us know or let me know or something like that. I don't have no money like that coming in.
But guess what? That's why, Brother Nonio, that's why the Most High has to take us to another level mentally. We have to elevate our thinking because in order to build a nation, nations have that kind of money. They operate in the billions of dollars and the millions of dollars. So operating at that level, we have to get at that level. All we need to do is when the time comes, tap into the resource. We just knock on the door and say, I came by. I sent you a portfolio of the things that we're trying to do. I want you to look over it, everything that we have, our business plan or whatever we're trying to put together, and we need you to donate. Could you please donate some money to our cause? And these people would be willing to do that when the time comes. But before we can even begin to, we have to establish the infrastructure. And the problem that black people have
is
they want to run out and get the money, and the infrastructure is not established. And you know, like I said, I want to say thanks to the sister in Pennsylvania because I see her number on the line. She set up the School of Knowledge. She's been very influential. I'm going to call you later on this evening because we're starting classes March the 1st. Again, if you're on the line and you would like to be a teacher, if you're interested in teaching a topic, please email us at the Yehuda Project at gmail.com because we're also recruiting teachers. We're only going to do two lessons in a 90-day, is it a 30-day period or a 60-day period? We're going to do two lessons. So we only need two teachers to start, and we're definitely going to get started March the 1st, and we're going to have a topic, and we'll email everyone out as to what it's going to be. So that is what we're planning on. That is what we're doing. We're getting the infrastructure straightened out because there's a lot of people that are educated, that have knowledge, that know how to do certain things, and we need your help. We
Hallelujah.
Need your help.
Hallelujah.
So is there anything else you want to say to the people before we leave? If anybody has a comment, a question, or concern, then now is the time to do it before we say so long. It is 5:30. And we're going to do our conference call. If those that are interested, if you have information that you'd like to bring or you would like to be a part of our conference call, the number is 559-726-1300. And the conference access code is, what is the code, Brother Donnie? I don't forgot. Let me
don't have it with me.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we're going to get it.
Hold on. I get it.
Because we don't. You got it?
Hold on. I'll get it.
Because we don't stay on the line long. We only on here for maybe 10, 15 minutes to let everybody know what we're doing. Like I said, the day for Atlanta has been changed. We moved it up to October, sometime in October. We're meeting with certain people to get this to finalize everything and to get everything situated. We'll be able to give you more information in. The women's organization, we were going to try to do a fashion show this year, but we realized that there are other organizations that are doing a fashion show. We don't want to coincide with theirs, so we're going to plan ours for 2015 to give us a chance to really, really do it right. If we got those out there that have skills in marketing, we need your help.
Yeah.
We need
your
help.
Okay, the number is 712-432-0075. Is that the number?
No, that's not mine. I think that's somebody else.
Oh,
but
okay.
I'll get it for him in a minute.
I'm looking the wrong
for him right
number.
Now. But I just want to say thanks to everybody for participating on the call this evening and giving us an opportunity to talk. You guys have been faithful. You've been there for us, and you've called every week. We've had a full line full of chat line, and the chat line people have been on the line, and it's just been a full day. And we just be glad that we're able to assist. I have the number right here. It's 559-726-1300, and the access code is 765-506. Again, the number is 559-726-1300, and the access code is 765-506. And we're going to be on there at 6:30 today. We're probably only going to be on there for 20 minutes to give an update. And again, we say thanks. Brother Donia, you have anything you want to say before we say so long?
I just want to say that I love each and every one of you, and there's nothing that you can do about it.
Okay, and what time is it, Brother Donia?
It's nation building time. That's what we need to be doing, nation building.
All right, here we go, you guys. And guess what? We will definitely see you all next week, and we're looking forward to building the nation of Yehuda, and we hope that you'll be able to participate with us. We love you all, and we'll see you next week. Shalom, shalom, everybody. Bye-bye.
Hey, what's up, man?
Brother, what's up?
Hey,
how you doing? Party, man.
Mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate.
You know we've got to find a way
to bring some love and kiss here today. Oh, picket lines and picket signs. Punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see. Oh, what's going on? What's going on? Yeah, what's going on? Oh, what's going on?
Right now.
Right on.
Of the Yehuda Project for today. We want to say thank you to everyone that's on the line. We appreciate all your support, and we'll see you next week. This is Yaina Yisrael with another edition of the Yehuda Project. We love you all. We'll see you next week. Shalom, shalom, everybody.